Yeah, called by Rome, but the horrifying Jack Adams. Beloved Father, Janice Thompson, Robert Frank, and Lena Adams, Lawrence and Laura Adams. Grandfather to numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Jack was born and raised in Seattle. He was born July 13, 1926, and he graduated Garfield High School. At only 17, on his 17th birthday, he enlisted in the United States Navy and served as a yeoman on the USS Winged Arrow. This ship transported soldiers all over the Pacific, including the soldiers portrayed in the prestigious icon of raising the flag at Iwo Jima, located in Arlington National Cemetery. Following the Navy, he went to college on the GI Bill and attended Seattle University and graduated from the University of Washington with a degree in business administration. But all the while, he was serving in the ROTC, the Reserve Officer Training Course, where he received his commission as an officer in the United States Army Reserve. During military service, he quickly moved up the ranks and achieved the rank of major, and served as the commanding officer to Fort Lawton's 10th Corps. He served as a mentor to many young soldiers in the division, including some from our own community. He was a patriot who served his country with love and dedication. Jack was also a third-degree Mason in a philanthropic non-Masonic order. His professional life consisted of his furniture business and home furnishings. He loved and enjoyed the art of selling and providing service to people. He worked for many years alongside his dear father-in-law, Morris Funes, at Belltown Furniture. It's known that he retired several times from work. But each time he was brought back because his expertise and the profession just kept bringing him back. Jack was married to the love of his life, Sally Funes, in 1952. And for the next almost 17 years of their life, they lived in marital bliss, surrounded by their dear parents, Morris and Fortuna Funes, and the four Regina Barron, all members of the Sephardic Rapport Phonemic community. Jack and Sally were blessed with three children, Janice, Frank, and Morris. In 1969, Jack's dear wife, Sally, passed away, leaving him to raise the three children, to which an occasion he rose with great dignity and strength, juggling his own business and the well-being of his children. I don't think we can overplay what he did there. I'm not talking about today where fathers are used to looking after the children and sharing the roles. This was a time when no men were looking after the children. And he did that with such love and dedication, with such honor and dignity, never ever showing anyone the difficulties, only always smiling like he always does. Jack had a tremendously happy disposition. He would always greet you with a smile, and following, as we say, Bikei Avot, Hevei Kabele Kota Adam, Beseva Taninia Kot. Whenever you greet someone, you greet them with a pleasant countenance. He was such a warm and caring man, with a grace and dignity you don't see so often these days. He was also, as you all know, a social butterfly, and a seller especially. And he loved coming to Sephardic Rapport Phonemic every Shabbat morning. I remember early on when I first arrived in Seattle that I was going to the Latin Arrows class on Tuesday mornings. And Jack, I mean, all the Latin Arrows make me feel welcome, but Jack especially really welcomed me. And one time he told me to come back with him for lunch at the summit. And at that time I wasn't doing much, so I stayed for hours, and he was just filled me in with all the history of the community. And from that moment, a bond was linked for us forever. When we developed that relationship, whenever we would see each other, we always meet each other fondly. But that wasn't me. That was everyone. Everyone I've spoken to in the last all morning has been saying about Jack, how he just smiled and brought joy to everyone's life, to lift up everyone's world. Next week we read the Torah portion of Hukat. And in that Torah portion we read of the passing away of Aaron, the high priest. And it says that the Kol Beit Yisrael, the whole house of Israel, mourned for him for 30 days. Yet when we look at Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our great teacher, it doesn't say the whole house of Israel. It just says they mourned. The rabbis ask, what is so different about Aaron that the whole house of Israel mourned him? What was so different? Was there something different about him than Moses? And our rabbis tell us that it was Aaron's love and happiness for the Jewish people, that he would constantly be approachable. He was humble. He would greet everyone with a happy countenance. He would want to work when there were arguments between people, whether it was a husband and wife or with friends. And that caused the whole house of Israel to love him. So when he passed away, the whole house of Israel mourned him. Today, it's the same. It isn't just the Barron family who are mourning a beloved father and grandfather. It's the entire Sephardic community, the entire Jewish community of Seattle, who are mourning a great man, a man who loved everyone, who would always bring joy and happiness, always with a quick joke and that warm smile of his. That's what I remember. Yes, I've only been here for 2 years, but that was touched on me when he imprinted on my heart was how you see people. He would always be so excited, even in the hospital the last couple of weeks when I would visit him, the smile on his face. That's what he wanted to talk about. He always wanted to say, how are things, how are girls? Like, that was his lifestyle, and that's what he taught us, to always be smiling and to treat everyone with real dignity and kavod and honor. It gives me pleasure, another pleasure, but it gives me, I'm going to invite Sally Halpin to give the next eulogy, and then she's going to be followed by her sister, Tara Franco, and finally, Rabbi Frank Barron is going to conclude.
About 5 years ago or so, I discovered that he was a man who had a favorite. I found the film, and I loved already made to be as a public person, and in public, it was public people by the team, and it's the same spot to you. I felt physically no better when you made up the hacking. I also approved Hidden and Freezer, the CADA on the same piece I made in the video, and it did. Sarah left the by a word of the problem. Her very hard to understand. She really taught me the value of hard work. So my sister Sarah and I were at 7:10, opposite us to work in her garden and told us to take a leak. We did, except I failed to see really how much fun we actually had doing that. We were so excited that for the next few times we came over, we would ask if we could take a leak. Papa was a very strong man. He also had a deep, strong commitment to be a strong and close family. He chose to give my family strength. And when my family had a decision, it should be safe between them and others. The family started a little more than my story. I am very grateful to have all of you in my life. And you, Papa, for instilling everything we have within us and showing us how to be happy. Just like happy, strong, clean. Thank you, Papa. Beautiful, when you bring your body, and it will be beautiful too. but overwhelming relief. We take comfort that you are finally reunited with my grandmother, your beloved Sally. God giveth and God taketh away. May the name of God be praised.
Gratitude. you feel entitled. And that's conscious man. He was aware what God had blessed him with, and he underscored all of that in his life. His thirst for knowledge was insatiable, and he passed it on to my sister, my brother, and myself. An avid reader of books, magazines, articles of all kinds, Judaica, political, historical. He was famous for his knowledge of history. But most profound in my mind and in our minds was to watch our humble father step aside and defer to someone who knew more than he did on a subject. He was humble. He praised that person, never trying to stay in lockstep if it was something that was he hadn't heard of or he didn't know. He had humility. He honored knowledge, and he honored those who had it. And he was most difficult to fool. You could not fool my dad. He could spot, he had tremendous radar, and was able to distinguish between someone, although he was kind to everybody, he was able to distinguish with his keen radar what was someone saying that was general knowledge and what someone said that was specific knowledge. And that was his intellect. And he was keenly aware of so many ideas, be it political, historical, that he would provide us with tremendous insight. One time I asked him about education when I was a youngster. And I said, Dad, I'm really afraid to go to college. How do you do it? It looked so large and insurmountable. He says, Frank, it's easy. You gotta do two things. You have to listen to the professor and you have to do your homework. The rest takes care of itself. And I followed that with life. I tried to anyway. I know my sister did, and all of her successes, and my brother does, and I like to think that I do. And everything we study and everything we learn, he provided us with the prerequisite infrastructure in our minds to know how to study, to know how to learn the topic. As Rabbi Hassan mentioned, my father was a great patriot. And evidence today, draping his casket, is the flag of the United States of America. And he taught us about this country and the values of this country, about freedom and independence, when we were in grammar school, when it wasn't popular to speak about the topic. Today it's kind of popular to speak about patriotism, especially when we have soldiers putting their lives on the line. Our father told us this 50 years ago, sitting at the dining room kitchen, the dining room table and the kitchen table, when he took us out in the car, he would speak to us about this country. You guys need to know you live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. We have freedom here. You need to understand in the rest of the world, they don't have what we've got here. And it's an amazing country. I would be very grateful we lived here. But we were Jewish. And we were singing a beautiful message from the schools we attended. And I remember one time challenging my dad. I said, but Dad, in the army, you're a high-ranking officer. What would happen if, God forbid, one day the United States and Israel went to war? You know what he said? The values of these two countries are so similar. The United States of America is founded on principles, on many of the same principles that the state of Israel has. Democracy, freedom. The United States of America doesn't have the Torah. The state of Israel does, but they are not in conflict. The United States promotes freedom and liberty and democracy and tolerance. And so does the Torah. The constitution of the Jewish people, and so does the state of Israel. And we hear this today, the United States and Israel shall remain ever friends. He answered my question. He said, "Hush up. It will never happen." He used to bring this to Fort Lawton, where he was the commanding officer, right here in the Magnolia area of Seattle. And the three of us kids and my mom would be so proud, because as we were walking on the base, he would be saluted by everybody, by every passerby, because there weren't, unless a colonel or a general was out there, my dad would be the high-ranking officer who would be saluted. And we would be so proud of him. That's my dad. That's our dad. He's our hero. He's brave. He's strong. And he's humble. He's untouchable. He's invincible. Yet carries himself with such dignity. We would just love to go to the Fort Lewis PX or commissary, and he'd pull in with his car, and the soldiers at the post would snap into attention. And we would just carry on knowing that, wow, this is pretty special, and he's our dad. Family. One of the most profound times, and Brother Hassan touched on this, one of the most profound times in our lives, sad, was the loss of our dear mother, Mrs. Sally Harris, Aleha Shalom, a blessed memory. She was only 37 years old when she passed away. But in the past, in those 37 years, was a lifetime of greatness. Our grief-stricken father never missed a beat. He comforted us. He guaranteed that we kept smiles on our face. We lacked nothing. He continued to give us life, and he protected us from all evil, from any harm. And he was our shock absorber at a difficult time, allowing us to go through with life at the young ages that we each were. All the while, at the mere drop of a memory or a mention to this very day of our dear mother's name, we cry like she just passed away yesterday. We continue to miss her dearly. She was the love of his life, unparalleled. When he spoke of her, as of recently, tears continue to well up in his eyes. He told us this week, if I have my dear sister's permission to disclose a beautiful time, he told my sister, that Jenna, clear vision, mommy. And she, Anthony, you know this, don't worry. He had it. He had a tremendous sense of moral and ethics. He taught us that. He taught us to be honest, work hard, accomplish the things that you need to accomplish. And he not only told us, but he did that. He worked so hard. Not only did he work, and I used to go to the store with him as a child, First Avenue, and the Mona downtown, Belltown Furniture, the Rand Furniture. He worked at Bon Marché, he worked at Macy's, he worked at Frederick and Nelson, he worked at Macy's at Tacoma Mall, he worked at Macy's downtown Seattle, he worked at Macy's at Northgate Mall. He was a sought-after salesman. He did very well for himself. He loved people, and the young whippersnapper salesman could not keep up with him. He used to have my brother and I, unheard of in the department store world, he used to sell Oriental rugs. I'm going to call them Oriental rugs these days. He used to sell rugs from afar. And no department store clerk ever did this. But he would say, "Frank, when you're done with class today, or Morris, when you're done yeshiva today, I want you to take up a sample someplace in the north end or the south end or the east side. We would be working to going picking up samples, delivering samples. He would have 12 things going at one time because he loved business. He loved to sell, and he did as well. I wished I could sell as good as he did. And it wasn't the traditional, typical, fast talking sell. It was an informed professional doing a service to somebody else. One of the most profound events, times, that I had as a child, and I think my sister was there, and I know Morris was there, was we attended the Seattle Hebrew Academy, and my parents did everything, and my father worked very hard to send us to them, give us a good education. And he saw my brother and I, and my sister, so involved with the community, you know, going to synagogue, careful with kashrut, being careful with all the things that our mother instilled in us and our father. But my brother and I would do it sometimes to a level that we're not used to. Very religious time. We were kids. We were listening to our teachers. And so my dad asked us, you need to take it easy. Be a little more liviano. So don't take, you know, do it. It's wonderful, but you know, don't worry. What would happen if you just didn't do it just exactly like you think you need to do something? So I, being the older one and the first one to speak on many occasions, I said, Dad, because you know, God told us that we have to do these certain things, go up and so on and so forth. And if we don't, you know, the fear of something bad to happen, get punished. Father didn't quickly set us straight. He said, no, I do know this book also, that you should not live out of fear. You don't do things out of fear of punishment. I'm not Jewish. After years and years of study, yes, there is a component of having, of course, we fear God and we fear we really want things bad to happen to them. There are consequences for not doing the mitzvot. But this should never be the motivation. It should never be the only reason why you do it. Only a component. And he brought graciousness, gracia, an old time gracia. Our heritage, that which we do in this beautiful Sephardic community, that he loves and he loved us being a part of. And I will never forget it. And I try to we each try to live our lives accordingly. This morning, shortly after he passed away, within minutes, Arco Suego, my dear friend, Rabbi David Angel, called me. And he said, Frank, I wish we could be there. We loved your father. He was part of our family. We felt so very close to him. He says, please tell your brother, I want to tell you a short dasha, and I want to please tell your brother and your sister that I stayed here for today so I could tell my brother and my sister and share it with all of you here. The Torah says, Book of Shimon, Vayamot Yosef, V'chol Echad, V'chol Chador Hachum. After Joseph passed away, and all of his brothers passed away, the Torah says, "V'chol ador ahu," and all of that generation. What does that mean? All of that generation. Vayamot Yosef v'chol echad. V'chol ador ahu. That specific generation. That specific generation meant the likes of Joseph, the man that he was. Is fueled in these days. The way my father embraced life, the way he approached people, his kindness, his countenance. We have few people in our community, they live well. We have a sitting that generation. A different generation today. The whole Hador HaHuda, which existed in the days of our grandparents, I saw it in my father and my mother. And I embraced it unknowingly that it's fleeting. My dear friend wanted to tell us that Papu Danny was part of that whole thing. Before I conclude, I want to make a very special Hakarat HaTov gratitude to the summit and to all of his friends. What he spent the last several years in my beloved there, it provided him just a beautiful environment. Every time I go there to sing or speak or just visit, and I tell the residents there, Hakarat, this is a 5-star hotel. We are so fortunate to have it in our community. Esther, thank you for keeping in mind my dad and everybody now. And I also want to thank the Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood for today doing, which is something I can't remember ever. I know they did it because of your kind souls as well. My father passed away very early this morning, crack of dawn. And it's a special, especially for children, great honor and dignity to bury the dead as soon as possible. In the holy city of Jerusalem, my sister-in-law was telling me it's not uncommon for there to be people to pass away and for the funeral and the burial in the same place even at night, in deference to the importance of burying people so soon after they pass away. And the Brotherhood jump through hoops to accommodate our family, our request, that we give proper kavod and honor to our father that he passed away and was buried on the same day, on the second day of the Hebrew month of Tammuz, which is exactly a month before his Hebrew birthday, when he would have been 89 years old on the second day of Av. Judge Morris and I are going to miss you greatly. Rita and I have been blessed with you. We love Rita, and she loves you so much. Could not ask for more devoted wife for my father as a daughter of. I think Morris and Aura, or Luann, this morning, I got there just in the nick of time to say her words to my father. The real Bruno and the Shechai, Aura, and Rina, and my sister, we are so honored. We're going to miss you, Dad, beyond words. Poetically, I don't know what happened in the next world, but poetically, there's some nechama, even if only a fantasy, that he's going to be reunited in the Shema with his beloved Valley, our mother, that has been waiting for him for 46 years. And his parents, who he never forgot, quoted them all the time. And with our sweet little Raina, Morris and Doris, little girls whom we lost several years ago, it's always in our minds. Again, I don't know what happens in Olam HaBa, but I do know that he will rest comfortably in the Shechina, in the glow of the divine presence, and that it will excel anything that is possible on earth. His tools that he navigated through life with failed him towards the end of his life. His speech became his slavery. And it was his speech that gives such joy to so many people. The air that he breathed was the joy that he breathed in the lives of all of us, especially us, his children. So, Dad, no more struggle. Breathe freely. The air that escaped you recently, and speak those words that your soul used to put in your mouth to bring kindness and love and happiness to everybody. We will never, ever forget you. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your friends, and your community are here en masse to give you just a small token of appreciation that has touched all their lives. The rest of them have had it. We will always love you. No, we miss you forever. Okay, I think you should want to go to the ground. We saw our Chayim. Amen. Thank you all on Erev Shabbat for joining us and giving.